Hello and welcome. I'm Jacinta Bolsenbrook from the Grower Group Alliance, your host for Making the Call, Farming Decisions in WA podcast. Now, it's a mini-series exploring how Western Australian grain growers are making smarter, more informed nitrogen decisions on farm. This series is brought to you by the Grower Group Alliance and 8 West Australian Grower Group project partners. Each episode, we'll be heading out to a different region to hear from local growers about how they're balancing risk, reward, and investigate how they're making nitrogen efficiency and usage decisions in their farming systems. This podcast is part of the RiskWise National Risk Management Initiative, a $30 million GRDC investment helping growers navigate key decisions around nitrogen management, sowing times, and machinery investment. So, join us as we unpack the thinking behind making those tough calls and the people making them.
My name is Liam Ducey. I am the Communications Manager for Sempoa, and I'm talking with Dan Sanderson. How are you, Dan?
Good, thanks, Liam. Going well.
Dan, where do you farm?
Rightio, I farm at West Grass Patch, so about 25 kilometres west of Grass Patch. We've got two properties there, and then we've got another property 9 kilometres east of Varley.
And what are you running on these properties?
We're growing growers, wheat, barley, canola, some legume break crops, small amount of hay. We use livestock as a tool for cropping. We get them in on the adjustment after harvest to clean up summer weeds and a bit of stubble and stuff. Other than that, it's just mainly cropping.
With regards to soil type, what are you on Grass Patch and what are you on Varley?
So Grass Patch, Palm on Grass Patch Road is Jublex heavier type country, running to acidic patches and a few small patches of copi. But mainly it's you'd probably call that a heavy low. And then on our southern property at Grass Patch, it's mainly loamy sand over clay. At Varley, there is some salmon gum loam flats going to on the south end to some gravel or ori sandy hills. Quite a diverse range of soil types.
With regards to the topic on hand, which is nitrogen, how do you make the decision on how much nitrogen to apply and when?
So over many years of experience of using fertilisers, we had to go through the phase earlier on of building phosphate into the soil, and we concentrated mostly on phosphate levels, and our yields were fairly low, like when I started farming back in 1990. That was 800 kilos to a tonne to the hectare, so nitrogen wasn't a big factor. Now our yields, this is wheat and barley, 2.5 to 3 tonne, nitrogen's become really important. Started banding UAN in 2004 because of the hassles of trying to handle urea not being set up for it. So I went for when the liquid first came out and banding that, and have just slowly increased the rate then. So to answer your question, after harvest, we'd look at our yields, our protein levels, just the quality overall. And for look at all the yield data and stuff that's been out, a lot of the Sempoa farmer-based trials and the NTV trials, MVT trials, give you good feedback on the amount of nitrogen being used and how much we've used.
That sounds fairly data-driven.
It is, yeah. We're always analysing the results. Nowadays with the harvests, with the yield maps, we can map the yields, we can test for protein with satellite imagery, we biomass. All of those things can help us really good tools for working out how much nitrogen we need.
What about rainfall outlook? How much do you draw on this to help make your decisions?
Rainfall's a hard one. We can have really wet summers, dry growing season. We can have a wet start to the year like we had this year in March and April, and then no rain for best part of 2 months until June. So we just have a standard strategy now where we band nitrogen at seeding time. Our aim is to grow a 2.5 tonne crop at 10% protein. So we just go in and with our soil samples and our past history of what the production of the paddock is, when we've worked out now that we normally band 100 litres of UAN at seeding time under the seed. If you've got the right points to get the seeding points to get the separation right, so you don't get that nitrogen blend down your seed. Once you put that in there, you know that you're pretty much set up for a start for an average season, and then you can fine-tune it from there.
Where do you go to find your rainfall outlook for the season?
Bureau of Meteorology, mainly. There are companies out there that do forecasts, and you can go on webinars and I look at that. It gives you some indication of where it is, but yeah, but Bureau of Meteorology is probably the main place.
Do you trust the bomb?
Oh, yeah, definitely. With the information they have, they give their best possible predictions, and it goes through there, and it's not an easy job forecasting what weather is. So, yeah, no, I rate them.
How has the way you make your decisions about applying nitrogen changed over the years?
Unfortunately, the cost of it has influenced how I've used it in the past. With the big changes in the last 5 or 6 years we've seen in nitrogen or in fertiliser prices, virtually got to stop focusing on the price and make sure we put in what our crop requires to achieve the result that we need.
Is there ever a point where that price would become prohibitive?
Yes, not in early in the season, not for banning at seeding time. It would be like this year, a good example. We had a June come along and started raining again. July was really good. August was good. EIM prices were expensive. We thought, well, we've got enough there to grow in excess of 3-ton crop with our good protein levels from the work we've done. And so we decided not to put any more on. Now, given the finish we've had so far, we probably could have applied more nitrogen, especially to the canola and the wheat and barley. But I'll tell you the right result after harvest time. I really can't put it any closer. So, yeah, we closed the checkbook because of the price that I put it in. And you've got frost issues to worry about. Grain prices at the moment is dropping. So you've got to consider all those things when you look at spending more money on your crop that is 70% of the way through its growing season.
Who or what influences your decisions the most with regards to nitrogen? Is it advisors, neighbours, your own trials?
Advisors, we have a paid agronomist. We get feedback from them and we look at a lot of the trials. Like I said, that the SEPRA trial, farmer trials we do, they're related. You know, I'm a low, median rainfall grower, so there's a lot of information there. And you look at after harvest and the results are there.
Now, the RiskWise site is at Grass Patch, but you also have a property in Varley. Is there any substantial difference between how you manage nitrogen on those properties?
No, not really. We've farmed at Varley for the last 5 years. We've used the same strategy up there, and it seems to work the same. It's a bit of a different environment. It gets colder up there. It does get a bit warmer, and at times rainfall is very similar, although it does come at different times. But our nitrogen strategy, we've adopted the same. We've transferred what was the grass patch at Barley and it seems to be working well.
So you're getting comparable yields and everything's tends to line up?
Yes.
Beautiful. How do you review your decisions after the season?
Look at our yield data. Every load that goes in to CBH is sampled and tested. So we look at all the stats that come from that. And then we look at the biomass imaging and, yeah, just pull that together and see if we've reached, look at that, your water use efficiency, see if we've, and water use efficiency is kind of, it's a hard one because it depends when the rain falls to how well water use efficiency works, but it is a tool we use. Put all those together and have we optimised our yield and have we optimised our protein or the quality of the crop we're trying to grow? Protein in wheat. The higher the protein, the better. Barley, we want, you know, for growing malt, well, there's a high and low, you know, in the middle there where you need to be. And with canola, it's all about oil content. We want as much oil as possible, so more nitrogen use, the better.
How does your, I guess, your crop rotation play into nitrogen in the soil?
A fair bit. I'm still looking for a legume where I can make ends meet, or at least a legume that I can break even on. I love growing legumes. The crops you grow, the wheat, barley and the canola you grow after a ewe is really good, but it's such a big cost. We've tried field peas, we've tried fava beans. We do grow lupins at Varley, which actually grow not too bad up there, but the prices just vary so much. The cost of getting them in, the wear and tear and the machinery to do it. So we've changed over in the last couple of years to growing more canola as our break crop, and GM canola has helped in that. And we're getting fitter good use from the canola and growing less legumes. I would really like to see a legume that we could put there, and like I say, we could make money out of, and then we'd go back to growing legumes like a shot.
So, Dan, we have a RiskWise project trial site at your place in Grass Patch that's looking at the impact of 6 different treatments, 3 nitrogen rates and 3 crop rotations on crop yield, grain quality, gross margins and carbon emission efficiency. How did you come to get involved in the RiskWise project and hosting this trial?
I'm involved with SEPWA. Been to SEPWA for, I don't know, 2017, I think, when I first got involved. With a lot of different organisations and a lot with GRDC, and when they said they were going to have a RiskWise site in Grass Patch, I put my hand up to have it at my farm where it's a heavier soil type, which is pretty normal for West Grass Patch. So we thought we'd try that and see what results it brings.
Did they have to sell you on that, or were you really keen to get in?
I was pretty keen. When you get involved with SEPWA, you're involved with SEPWA because you want to see more trials, you want to see more results that you can believe in and take back to your own business. The investment into the RiskWise site, I thought, well, let's give it a go and see how it works.
Now, Dan, the trial at your place is testing 3 crop rotation options, one with canola as a break crop, one with a legume as a break crop, and one with a double break. Why do you think the double break is worth looking at in the trial?
So double breaks, although they can be hard to make a dollar out of, they do influence soil health a lot. So there's 2 parts to the double break. One is weed control, trying to control weeds that are resistant to the chemicals that we use. And the other one is building up the healthy bacteria in the soils. So with a double break, you get both of those as a benefit. You get better weed control and you get the better health benefits. Some legumes, if you grow faba beans, you get a healthier crop after beans because of the effects they have on the soil, and they said more nitrogen as well against field peas or lentils. Doesn't seem to be as good, but that's only in my experience. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of the trials around the place of what is the best legume and what's the best way to have a double break if you're going to go to the expense of having a double break,
the benefits it brings in the future.
Double break is not ideal from an economic point of view. Am I right in saying that?
That's right, yep.
Yep. So what sort of return would you need to get after that to make that viable?
If you have a double break, you probably want to grow 3 cereals in a row, and you should be expecting above average yields. And depending on the grain prices and the quality that you grow, then that'll work out if it's been beneficial or not. But we do have to look after our soils and minimise resistant weeds. So there's a lot of downstream benefits from it.
As a whole, how's this season looking for you?
Pretty good. It's been up and down. We started off the year in March, April with some really good rains. Then we had that dry spell, late April, May, early June. And since then, it's been very kind. We've had some frosts in August and come through in September. A lot of the timing of the flowering, we've at our face, we've seemed to have avoided most of it. But there has been some worse frosts not far from us, like in Salmon Gums and Cascades. And who knows where the frost is going to go, but quite off fairly lightly. We haven't had very many hot days so far, and we've got a bit of subsoil moisture left. If we don't get a finishing rain, our crops are still going to finish off pretty good. So it's really quite a good position to be in, and we're fairly happy.
All right, Dan, well, that's all I need. Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks for us, Leo.
You've just been listening to Making the Call, Farming Decisions in WA. This podcast is part of the RiskWise National Risk Management Initiative, a $30 million GRDC investment helping growers navigate key decisions around nitrogen management, sowing times, and machinery investment. The Grower Group Alliance Project webpage features more information, news, resources, and updates about RiskWise and the 8 Grower Group project partners involved. simply visit the GGA website at www.gga.org.au. Head to the Activities tab and find RiskWise listed under GGA Projects.